when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
I want to tell you the work of a shepherd, so that those who say they want to be shepherds, they will know what it means. I never wanted to be a doctor. No, I never, medicine, never on my list of to do in my life. Medicine never appeared. Law was in the background when I'm old, but not medicine, because I don't like blood. And I know that in medicine, you'll be meeting blood every day. True or not true? You will meet blood in one form or another every day. That's your work, blood. And so I didn't want to be called at night. No. Pharmacy, they don't call you at night. Medicine, they call you at night. I didn't want that one too. So I knew what the work entailed. And so I had no desire to do medicine. And pharmacy, my big brother is also a pharmacist. So I saw pharmacy. I said, this one I like. So I knew what the work entailed before I made my choices. Whereas there's somebody who chose medical school, went to first year, second year, third year. Then he said, in third year, I've changed my mind. I won't do it again. Oh, yes. Because he didn't like where they were taking him. You know. So at third year, he finished third year, then he left. Then he came to pharmacy first year. Yes, I didn't like it again. Because now I'm inside. This evening, for just 5 minutes, I want us to look at the work of a shepherd. That you are, so that when I ask you again, how many want to be shepherds? You raise your hand well, or you raise your hand. Are you with me? Are you with me? Beautiful. This is also what our prophet shared with us, the love code. How many know the love code? Hey. How many know the love code? Raise your hand. You have forgotten. Shabaya. Beautiful. 64. Uh-huh. That's the last. You have finished. You have cut out everything. But listen. The work of a shepherd is four. Number one, prayer. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 4. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the work of word of God and serve tables. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Hallelujah. Give ourselves continually to prayer. So, number one, under number one. If you want to be a shepherd, how many want to be shepherds? If you want to be a shepherd, then number one, you must want to pray. You must, not that you must pray, you must want to pray. What do I say? I'm in country. What do I say? What do I say? You must want to pray. How many here like to pray? You like to pray. Some of you don't like to pray. You pray, but you don't like to pray. Don't raise your hand. Yeah, only a few like to pray. How many find prayer boring? You raise your hand, but you are here. How many find prayer boring? It's you do by force. I see one honest girl in this house. The rest are just trying to. No. But if you want to be a shepherd, prayer is maybe the keyest part of your job. Hallelujah. It may be the most important part of your job because of the reality that virtually everything else you may do after the other three things that you may do, if there's no prayer, they may not work. They may not work. There are four things. You know what they are. If prayer, the first one, is not firmly established. Are you listening? Are you listening? It's not firmly established as one of the things you do in the work of a shepherd. The other three things may never yield fruits. And then you wonder whether this thing called the work of a shepherd, is it worth it? You wonder whether it is doable or not doable. And that is why sometimes people are shepherds and they become burnt out. They become exhausted and they become discouraged. And some say, I won't do it again because I've done, I can't see any results of it. Have you heard it before? Yeah. How many have been there yourself before that you are tired and you are about to give up because the thing is not working? The thing is not working. And it's like, I've done the thing. I've done. Now it's not working. And the simple reason most times is that you are not praying. And you argue that, oh, you are praying. You argue that you are praying because you have prayed 5 minutes in the morning and then 5 minutes in the evening. You are not serious. You are not serious. You have prayed 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, and then you have prayed in the church hall when you are going to this thing. All night you won't come. You are not serious. You are not serious. Hallelujah. And that is why many people are seemingly discouraged by the work of a shepherd because it seems not to bear fruit. And you seem to be trying and trying and trying. I mean, it's like, people say it's a good job. But me, when I do it, it's not working. And you hear of young children who are able to bus 50 people, 80 people, 100 people, and you, grown man with teeth, you can't bus 20 people. And you wonder, what is going on? Do you know what the difference is? Prayer. That's the difference, prayer. And the truth is, Tapi Deba, I think today you shouldn't have come. You are spoiling the message. Tell neighbor, you shouldn't have come. Because when he saw you, then he's saying what he's saying. Because you're not praying. You are not praying at all. Even your quiet time is suspect. No. Your quiet time, you just read a scripture, then you're on the way. You're on the move, quiet time. No prayer. How? Quiet time and there's no pen or paper by your side. Quiet time, no paper, no pen, no notes. You don't make any comments. Tell somebody you are not a serious Christian at all. You are not. Next time they say shepherds, don't raise your hand again. No. Prayer is a fundamental requirement if you are going to be a shepherd of any worthy repute. You're going to be a shepherd who will have anything to show. There's got to be prayer in your life. There's got to be prayer. It must be prayer. Hallelujah. Is that number one? Yeah. Many of us don't pray because deep down in your heart, you don't believe in prayer. You doubt that prayer works deep down in your heart. Because many of us have prayed and nothing happened. Prayed even the once or twice where you were very serious about some prayer topics and you prayed hard, still nothing happened. I don't know why they are looking at me like this. Still nothing happened. So many of us deep down, we have a fundamental, is it mistrust or distrust of prayer, the success rate of prayer. Because we have prayed and we didn't see the use. So we are a bit disillusioned. And as you are even praying, you are wondering, will it work? As you are praying, you are wondering, will God answer? That's your answer. Yeah, once you are questioning the prayer, I mean, what again? Do you have to ask again? That's your answer. No answer. Yeah, if you are questioning the prayer, where is the faith that is backing the prayer? No answer. I want to tell you something. I've been looking for a scriptural basis. I cannot find it yet. But it's a conviction I have from my experiences. So I'll share it. If it's not true, throw it away. Okay? If you feel it is true, keep it in your pocket. But if you feel it's not true, throw it away, because I can't give you a scripture to support what I'm saying. But I'll say, I think that many of the prayers we pray for ourselves are not answered. And I feel that many of the prayers we pray for others are answered. Take your time. I've not finished. Do you understand? What we pray for ourselves are not answered. What we pray for others are answered. Now, many of us seldom pray for anybody. Seldom. So rarely are your prayers answered. And the vast majority of your prayers that you pray for yourself are also not answered. So unconsciously, we gravitate to a place where we think prayer is not answered. It's my conviction. I don't know. You can throw it away or you can keep it. But that's what I think. If you were to start praying much more for other people, you will see that your percentage of answering will increase, because I think God answers those prayers. Then when God answers those prayers for others, you will have, in a way, more confidence to pray for yourself. The prayers you pray for yourself is not based on faith. It's based on need. It's not based on faith. It's based on what I need. God has never promised to use need to answer prayers. It's always faith. It's always faith. So many of us, we are walking around disgruntled, angry at God. God is not faithful, doesn't stand by his word. We are so many things. But you are not doing the thing well. And you will find that, I mean, ask your neighbor, when was the last time you prayed for somebody? Never. I mean, I don't mean a prayer meeting. You prayed for somebody, like I'm praying for you to get a job, to be healed, to be well, to get something. When was the last time you prayed for somebody? You'll find that those prayers, God answers them. You'll see. God answers those prayers that you pray for other people. But the prayers you pray for yourself, he doesn't mind you very much. I don't know why. I think it's a suspicion. It's a suspicion. What am I saying? If you are going to become a shepherd, learn to pray more. And the vast majority, bulk of your prayers should be for others. For your sheep, for your cell, for your branch, for your church, for whatever group you have. The vast majority, you find many leaders, that leaders here, choir leaders, bus center leaders, branch leaders, ask them, do you pray for your members apart from a passing prayer? Do you pray for your members apart from, I mean, do you sit down and say, I have members, John, Peter, Joseph, Erajua, Erabna, Erata, do you pray for them? And the answer is the answer. Is the answer. Yeah, ask them. Amen? Amen. So, number one, prayer. If you want to be a pastor, a shepherd, you've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to, when Bible says pray without ceasing, that scripture should be your salvation. That scripture, it means that you will pray in your, as you wake up, you are praying throughout your morning, and then when you are leaving the house to go to work and there's no trotro, you say, praise the Lord. As you are walking, you are praying. When you're in the trotro, you are alone, you say, praise the Lord, I can pray a bit. When somebody comes to sit by, you say, oh no, what a disturbance. You must really look for every opportunity you have. And you see, many of us, our lives are full. Those who have children, those who have husbands, those who have jobs, businesses, our lives are full. Or it's not the case. Hey, their children are here. I don't know. Our lives are full. We are busy running around from morning till night. And so you find that we really don't have much free time. When I say free time that is free. That is free to be used on anything. And when you have free time, you go and watch films. You go and do other crazy things. Yeah, because you are tired. I want to rest. So when I'm free, I want to sit down, take a magazine, take a newspaper, take something, go online, Google things. That's your free time. No, I'm not quarreling. Go ahead and do that. But then maximize the other time for prayer. So anytime, any way, have those who have earphones and they're playing music or something, no problem. But let there be prayer. Any chance you get, let there be prayer. When you come for a meeting and there's a time and you're alone, just pray. What do you pray for? What is that? That is the gift of praying in tongues. Shakataya, Rabbandidi, Rebokasaya. You're just in your house, walking around, nothing in particular. Before you sleep, or when you wake up, there is endless. I don't know whether I'm talking because everybody's looking at me in a very funny way. No, I'm looking. I don't like your blank faces. William, blank faces. Every opportunity to pray. Every opportunity to pray. In between anything, pray. Pray for everything. Pray over everything. I am certain most of us don't pray before we eat. I am certain. I am certain most of us just eat. No, I'm just certain. No. My house, me and my wife, we always pray before any meal. We pray everywhere, every meal. We just say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Amen. Just to recognize that it God's hand there inside. No, I don't know why you're talking. I'm also talking. If you ever sit in a bus or a car to go to Accra and you didn't pray, you are a fool. You are a fool. And you are lucky to be alive. You sat in a bus or a car to go to Accra, this dangerous road. The word I want to say, I didn't say it. So I said fool because it's a toned down. It's a toned down version. What I really wanted to say. You have gone to Accra and back without thanking God. What a miracle. Ah. I don't know those of you who wake up in the morning. You say, I deserve to wake up. I deserve to wake up. I'm the strong type. My heart is the beating type. No, I'm just showing you how ridiculous it is not to pray. That's all. I'm just showing you how it's ridiculous. All the scamming that is going around and your money is intact. Your money is still in your purse. One day somebody called me. Look, that day, Reverend William, I almost gave him my password. Because he was chatting with me and talking to me and just explaining things. And he was making sense. Then he asked me, so confirm your confirm your name and pass and email. So I confirmed it. Email there is common. No problem. Then he asked me, your visa card. I said, hey. Now who are you? I said, now who are you? Because you're asking me for the digits on my visa card. Now who are you? He said, oh, I'm from the bank. And I said, no. I was happily giving away my, you see, some of you, your money is intact because nobody has tried you. That's why. Nobody has targeted you to scam you. Nobody has tried to reach into your account. I mean, many of us, we are hackable, easily hackable. What a certain man told me that, you know, there's a, when you are a bad person or when you are in a certain category of people, when you look at somebody and look at your name, your age, and a few things about you, I can guess your passwords. I can guess your passwords. When I look at your name, your age, your sex, it's just most of us, our minds are programmed in a certain way. So your password is a certain type of, only a few who are very complex have complex passwords. Because you don't forget. So you have a password you can remember based on something that is you. That's the key. So they can sit down and go through a number of combinations. Fine. They have your password. But you don't have money and you're not important. That's why, no. That's why nobody has come for you. So that, and you see, you have, unless you stay poor, then you'll be okay. Unless you stay poor, never become rich, never become significant, never become great. Nobody will never target you. Are you here this evening? Number one is prayer. You must pray. As we sit in around us, I mean, crime, armed robbery, thieves, so many things are going wrong around us. And you are sitting in the middle of an eternal war zone, and you're not praying. In the middle of a heated battle, bullets and bombs are flying over your head, and you are not disturbed enough to be aggravated, to be stirred up, to be, I don't know what the word is not coming again, to pray. No. And that is why many of us shepherds, we seem to fail. We seem to be unsuccessful. And that is why many churches don't grow much. That is why Basanta Choir, many of these gatherings which are under us, don't seem to grow much. Because without prayer, all the other ingredients seem not to work. They seem not to work. Number one, prayer. Number two, visitation. Jeremiah 23, verse 2. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Sometimes we have not understood the gravity of what is being said. When we say not visited, the effect is you have scattered. You have scattered. You have driven them, literally driven them away. You have literally sacked them from church. I hope you understand that. You have sacked them. You have literally told somebody, stop church. Stop church. Go out into the world and manage. Manage as best as you can. That's the effect of not visiting. Amen. That's what it comes to. Not visiting. Not visiting has, okay. So, not visiting, visitation. Number one. Number one. Some don't even think about it. Do you understand? They don't even think about it. You are home Saturday afternoon. You are free. You have money in your pockets. You have people on a list. You have nothing to do. You are bored. Then you get up and go and find a film to watch. Because the thought of going to visit somebody didn't even enter your head. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying this evening. I don't think they understand what I'm saying. I think I'm, like Prophet says, I'm in the wrong place. It doesn't even occur to you. If you are free, cry, you do something else. Today you have closed work at 4 instead of 5. So you have beat the traffic. You have gotten to your house. You are in your area at 5 instead of 7 as normal. Then you are 5 o'clock in the evening. You are walking home. You are free. You are free 5 in the evening. And you are passing your area. No, I don't think they understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what I'm saying. Because you are in the area and you have the whole evening. Normally you are home at 7. Today you are home at 5. And you are walking through the area. But it even to think of, hey, let me go and see this guy. I mean, hey, today I'm free, I'm here. And Equia lives down here. Joe lives down here. Let me just pass by. It doesn't enter your head. You just keep walking. I think I'm not preaching well this evening. Because many times you don't visit. Not that you don't want to. Does it enter as you are sitting here? Have you applied for a visa to Cuba? Why not? Cuba. Have you applied to go to Czechoslovakia? Why not? It's a nice country. No, not that they're fighting there. But Czechoslovakia is a nice country. Cuba is a nice country. Why haven't you gone? As you are sitting here, have you planned to go and see what's happening at the Mole Game Reserve? It's a nice place. I've been there myself many times. You haven't planned to go there. Why not? Why not? Doesn't occur to you. I mean, it doesn't. Mole Game Reserve and Evelyn. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Likewise, many of us, we have no. I mean, you hear, you know, you've heard of Mole. Yes, you've heard about it. You've heard of visitation. You've heard about it. But to do it, has it entered your head? It doesn't. I mean, it's not that you are wicked or you are bad. No. It's not that you are deliberately saying, I won't go. No, not that. It hasn't occurred to you. Not that I've called you, come, and you didn't come. No. Nobody called me. So I'm sitting there somewhere coolly and quietly. Meanwhile, we know PVCI. We know there's prayer. We don't pray. No, there's visitation. And we are not going. We're not going. And then what we do is, when you're going for a meeting, then you call it visitation. When you're going for a meeting, or when it's meeting time, then I leave 10 minutes earlier or something, just a few minutes earlier, just to pass by. It's not visitation. So, number one, doesn't even occur to you to go. Number two, some think about it. Think about it. I forgo. But they don't go. I know there's visitation. I know I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastoral leader. I know this is my assignment. I forgo. But tomorrow, next week, later, right now, nah. Charlie, okay. I'll go later. You think about it, but you don't do it. It occurs to you. Oh, a name drops into your head. John. I've not seen John for a couple of weeks. John, Sunday, was he in church? No, I don't think I was in church on Sunday. No. Sunday wasn't in church. And then, okay, I'll see this Sunday. If he comes. No, it's not the case. You see, I think we should close and go because I don't like, I mean, as if what I'm saying is, no, as if what I'm saying is not important. Because, nobody here is affected by what I'm saying. Nobody here, what I'm saying is maybe just, the I don't know who it is that thinks but doesn't go. I don't know who it is. Maybe, I don't know, nobody here. Those here, either we don't go or we think and we go. I don't know what it is. But those who think but don't go, they didn't come this evening. I'll see you on Sunday. One of the key things you must have in your mind and your heart is when something you haven't thought about pops into your head, you must ask yourself, where is it from? You must ask yourself, where is it from? Because as I'm sitting here, I don't think about many things. So when something just drops into a name, a person, a face, or something drops into your head, you must ask yourself, where is it from? And what I will tell you oftentimes is an angel standing by you whispered it and you heard it. Very often an angel standing by you. One day I was in my house. I was preparing for a church service and I had trying to prepare my preaching. It wasn't working. So from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I've done my preaching. I've tried to find a topic. I've prepared my... It wasn't working. I know that this preacher I'm going is by force. It's not working. And then I've been praying. Oh, God, what am I going to say? I've been preaching. It wasn't working. So I was working. Then Saturday night, in frustration, I went to my bedroom. And I sat on my bed. I was trying to say, tomorrow is Sunday. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And I was just there. Then I heard, as I sat there, I heard a scripture, the verse. Then I heard which verse? The verse I read last week. So I went to that verse again. And when I read the verse last week, nothing was there. I was going to close. Then I saw the next scripture, the next verse. When I saw it, then it just jumped and held my face. I said, hey, this is the scripture. I mean, in 5 minutes, I had my message. And as I was sitting there, then I don't know whether it's my imagination or I don't know whether my imagination, but I got the feeling, you heard me. You heard me. You know, so I said, yes, maybe they've been trying to reach me all the week, but I was busy thinking of other things. When a name or a person's name drops into your head, you must ask yourself, where is it from? Has an angel directed you to him? Is it the inconvenience or the laziness or your dullness that makes you excuse and not go those promptings? No, I can't see that. I can't see. Number three. Some start, but they are easily discouraged. Some agree, let's go on visitation. Today, I'm going to three places. 1, 2, 3. And they start. And at the first one, or even before the first one, something happens, then they pass somewhere, start chatting, and they end up not doing what they plan to do. They start, but they don't finish it. And the reason is that you have not recognized all the different things that are fighting you to prevent you from visiting. You have not recognized that somebody doesn't want you. It's as if you are, two of you are competing for a job and somebody is trying to frustrate you from getting that job. Somebody is stopping, hindering you. When you come to you're going to do something and somebody has come to sabotage it, has come to flat, put your tires down, they've come to break your pencils, they've come to steal your notebook. They are just trying to frustrate you and keep you from doing what you should do. And you must understand that every visit, maybe we should keep a logbook of the people you have ever visited and then see what they become. Maybe. Because also in our minds, we easily jumble things up. I've gone to her house. So we just lump them all into one piece. But maybe you should have a logbook of people you have visited. Then you will see that, hey, those I have visited, they are the ones who are stable. And then you begin to have more regard and more value of your visits. Some, when you go, you discuss football, Black Stars, this disgraceful Black Stars, you just go and talk, then you leave and go. But when you find that some who I really visited them, you find that some of them, they have become very stable or they have improved. You have not seen the value of your visits. And you have not seen that there is a conspiracy to stop you from visiting. Either stomach ache, tiredness, headache, rain, I can see clouds, the sun is too hot, it's raining, no trot. Something will, and it's never the same thing, it's a different thing every time. Every time there's a valid reason why I cannot go. Valid reason, not laziness, a reason. And there's always somebody who is putting those reasons on our path. That's visitation. How many want to be shepherds? This is it. This is it. You want to be a shepherd? You've got to visit somebody. Not once a week. Nobody goes to work once a week. You want to be a shepherd? You want, ask anybody, do you want to be a shepherd? This is it. This is why we have so many shabby shepherds. They don't do their thing. They are doing their work shabbily. They don't do their thing well. It's not done properly. This is it. Number three, counseling. So let me, the last one, few visits. That's all. Point four, or what is it, point four? Point four and point two. Few visits. That's all, few. Few. Few visits. Just one, two, three. That's all. Oh, I mean, in this house here, 1, 2, 3 visits. And they do themselves. Few. Number three. Counseling. Another 6:24. Same scripture. Then the 12 called the multitude, Acts chapter 6, verse 2, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To the ministry of the word. That's counseling. The word, to minister the word, to give it. A minister is a servant. And so you are serving the word. You are dishing out the word. And there too, very few of us do it. Number one. And number three, believe that many people are disturbed and confused by men and by spirits. Believe that many people are disturbed and confused. Disturbed and confused. And that disturbance or the confusion, some are caused by men, foolish boys and silly girls. And some are caused by spirits. They just enter into your life and cause chaos. But many people are confused. You'll be amazed at people who have some hang-ups still about church. You'll be amazed. You think we all understand, agree that church is very good, and as you come, oh, trust the pastors, trust the shepherds. You think so? No. You think so? You think everybody here thinks that we are genuinely, honestly trying our best to help you at our expense? You think so? There are people who are looking at you with a very suspicious eye. They say, hey, you are here again. Hey, what exactly do you want? What exactly do you want? You come to see Evelyn, to visit her. Hey, she's your church member. Eh? Wow, how nice. How touching. But what exactly do you want? As you are coming to see the choristers, I mean, what's really going on? So when you say this subject, this matter about tithes and tithing, giving offering, yeah, I understand. But what really do you use the money for? What really? I mean, yeah, I can understand. We need to pay the light bill. Understand? I mean, we have to buy all the things. But, Bishop, do you need a Nissan Patrol? Do you need a car that expensive? No, a lot of people, no, have hang-ups, you have not thought about it. A lot of them, I will not say genuine, because I don't know whether it's a genuine hang-up, but they genuinely have the hang-up. They are really thinking like that. They are really confused about many things. They are really not sure of what's going on. Why do you think so many of our members are so unstable? Why? Our members, not strangers, not first timers, not people who have been there once or twice. I don't know whether I'm preaching today. Our members, they're not stable. How can a person who knows Jesus Christ, knows heaven, knows hell, knows salvation, on a Sunday, he'll stay home and lie in bed? Tell me why. You know that if you die, you're going to hell. You know. If you know that thing for a fact, how can you on Sunday morning not come to church? Why? No reason. There's a reason. They are not stable in their minds. They are not stable. There is some deep-seated suspicion. Is that accurate? Deep-seated. I mean, as I'm sitting here, I don't suspect Clinton and Jimmy. I don't suspect anything. I don't suspect these two. I don't. It doesn't occur to you. No. But there are some people deep down, if anyone here is a thief, it's you. If something is totally here, check this guy first. deep-seated, I don't know whether I'm saying it well, deep. It's not, it doesn't come easily. Deep. People have issues, oh. When you find somebody who's not married, you say, oh, why aren't you married? Oh, you know, I've not found a girl yet, you know. I'm still looking around. I'm still looking. No. Sometimes he himself doesn't want to marry what he has seen before. So they are saying that I've not seen, but actually, I have seen, but I don't like. Yeah, I've not seen. It's not true. How can, there are girls everywhere. How can you not see? No, not that I have not seen. It's I don't like deep down. I don't like. Deep down. Any boy who's not married, it's his personal choice. Anybody who wants to marry can marry within half a year. You can find a girl who will say yes tonight. You find one. Oh, yes. You will find a girl who will say yes tonight. Or come and see me. 1, 2, 3 test. You find one. She will say yes. But you are not interested. Or you are not in any you're not motivated. Why not? Because of a deep-seated something. Either your parents' marriage, your former beloved, their friends, or you have a suspicion that girls are after your money. Something is preventing you from going out. It's the same thing for many people in one form or the other. That is why we need to preach to them. And that is why my preaching, how often do I preach to you? Once a week for 2 hours, 1 hour, how often? But you are there with your guy on the street in your area. You are the best person to preach to the person. You are the best person. Right? Me, I'm the official altar call giver. That's all. And I just come and give you 1 or 2 policies, 1 or 2 points to go. But to really change somebody's mind, not their preaching. And preaching is just to sow a seed. It's just to make you start thinking a certain way. Preaching, how can I change your, even you, my preaching doesn't change you. You will believe in me. It doesn't change you. It sets you thinking. So to change a person, it's not one sermon. It is sit down and let's talk. Look, I have talked 6 hours before. I have talked all night before. To change your mind, that is it. Recently, I met a certain man just a week ago. I spoke for 4 hours. Yeah, from 4 to 8. Spoke. Talking. I was talking 4 hours. He must change his mind. That's counseling. Preaching, 4 hour preaching. How you are joking? You'll sleep on me and you all won't come back the next week. But that is counseling. People need it. Number one. Number two, you have no idea how capable you are. You have no idea how capable you are. You know it. Nobody here, there are only 1 or 2 fools, but not, most here are not fools. Only 1 or 2. That's the law of averages. You are capable to speak, to address the needs of most people you will meet. Most people you will meet. One day, somebody told me this. I was talking to somebody, and then a spirit manifested. And then I was not afraid, but I was thinking. And the person said something. He said, if ever a spirit will manifest himself in your presence, that is a sign you have the power and authority to cast it out. Yeah. If your presence or your words or your preaching can make somebody manifest, bring out the spirits, it means that you have the power to cast it out. So continue the thing and drive it out. So most of us have sufficient understanding of enough Bible themes to explain to most people what is wrong with them. What you don't know is not too much, but after one failure, you will know it. Oh yeah, it will happen twice. When they ask you a question, you can't answer. And they ask you twice, you can't answer. Then you're a real fool. Because you should go and check. Hey, when they ask me this thing, I didn't know. There's a scripture. Is it John 2 or that? You should go and check. Once you check, now I know it. That's a good person. Most of us, there are few people that you will meet that you can't answer their questions. Few. Not many. Those who are really difficult, you'll not meet them. God will shield you, I believe. I don't know. But what those you meet, you can handle them. Yeah. Most of us are capable. Most of us can do most things required to stabilize people if you will open your mouth and talk. If you go and meet them and try to add, knowing that they have problems, try to address it. Most of us, you are capable. Many of us, you know, one of the most amazing things that happen is when a church member leaves our church, goes to another church, and becomes a pastor there. And he has a church that is working. Here, he was just a church member. Then he left the church. As was going from 1 to 1 to, then he left the church and went somewhere. Then after 6 months, when you see him, today he's the local pastor. Then you wonder how. It's true. Because you are sitting on a wealth of information. And when he goes there, he's pushed out. And then they sink or swim. And they swim. But we I don't know whether we are polishing the same coins over and over and over again. Trying to make you a certain caliber. That's why we have not seen you as capable of going to do a church. And when we send you to go and do a church, then you look at a pastor. Then this is a pastor. Then where do I compare? This is the marking scheme. Where do I compare? I'm out. No. You are capable. Amen. This is number what? Number four of number three. Yes. So number four of number three. And this is number three now. Oh, are you sure? What's the first one? Believe. And then. Yeah. Okay. So number three. You are not learning to improve and to go forward. You are not learning to improve. You are not learning. If we bet here, ask them, who is reading a book? Almost nobody. Nobody. Who is listening to a message? The one we're asked to listen to, which is probably... Almost nobody is improving in his spiritual maturity and his knowledge. Whatever growth that comes onto you, it is the natural growth of hearing a message that is blown over you, of which you get only 11%. That's your only growth. There's no growth that is instigated by yourself. So you don't do much better. You are just in church for a long time. You are not mature. You are just old. Yeah, you're not mature. You're just old. You're just growing older and older and not more and more mature. You are not. You know, I'm not canceling point two. I'm addressing point two. What you learned about the Trinity when you were newborn, that's all you know still. What you learned about the Holy Spirit, that's all you know still. So when somebody is newer than you, you can give him this. But you yourself have not gone further, any bits, nothing more. You have not. You have not matured. You have not grown. So you are still a very raw. I think I should close. It's 8:30. It's 8:30. No, I don't think. And you see, when I'm wondering whether you will change after this message. I'm wondering. Because how many will, do you understand the importance of your visitation? And now the counseling, the need. People are confused though. People are really confused. You'd be amazed what they are thinking. You'd be amazed at the questions they have about things that to you are straightforward. You'd be amazed. And which, if you try to answer, even if you can't fully answer it, you can take them far and at least stabilize them for a bit. At least tell them to cool down your hearts and let's trust God. That's an answer. Number four, and then number three. As you mature and you know more, soon you are looking for someone to preach to. Yeah. When you have a new shoe or a new phone, you are looking for someone to show it off to. True or not true? When you have something that is nice, after a while, Chale, I want to show it to somebody. When you have knowledge, you will look for someone to show it to. Very soon, you are looking for people to start to argue with them, your classmates, your office mates. Look, bring it on. Let's talk. Yes. I mean, you guys, you have been talking nonsense by heart. Pastors are this. Hey, today is enough. Come and sit down. Let's talk now. Very soon, you will be looking for a confrontation to fight a battle. Why? You feel strong. Yeah. Yeah. A time will come when you wonder, it's a long time anybody came to confront me. It's a long time I met any Muslims or any Jehovah's Witness or any Mormons. I want those people, the difficult ones. I can't wait to meet a Mormon. Come and sit down and tell me that Jesus is Adam. Come on, let's sit down. Jesus is Adam from the way. The first Adam, the second Adam, and this is the third Adam. You are waiting for a chance to let him know that Jesus is not the Adam. The first Adam, the second Adam. I'm closing. I said 5 minutes here. I'm closing. John 10, 2 and 3. Interaction. John 10, 2 and 3. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Hallelujah. So, finally, interaction is to know your members, your people. You know, as I stand here, when I look, starting from here, and I look, I know practically everybody. There's one or two I don't know. I know practically everybody. How many of us can do likewise? How many of us can just look every row and know practically everybody? Just one or two that I don't know. How many of us? So what we have is many strings attached to one person, or attached to two people. Whereas what we could have had was many strings attached to many other people. When that happens, it is almost impossible for you to leave church. Almost impossible. Many strings. Because when mine breaks, you have seven other strings holding you. And when two break, not a problem. But when there's just one or two main strings, all you know is me and one other person. The rest are all superficial friends from a distance. The day I move, you are shaking. The day I move, you are shaking. And the day he's angry at you, you are gone. Because the last string is angry at me, and the one I know is not here. What am I doing here? To your tent, O Israel. Away, away. Yeah, we are gone. But when you are entangled, I mean, I cannot imagine. I'm entangled in this church. I'm entangled. How can I walk away from all these people? If I'm going, anyone can call me and say, where are you going? Anyone? No, I cannot imagine all the strings, heart, legs, stomach, everything is tied down here. But when you are here quietly, in the back, on the corner, I'm here, faithfully here. Oh, you know, at a point, we know your face, but we don't know you. You're the one, you're always over there. I mean, I know your face. Oh, yeah, I know this guy. I don't know you. That I know this guy is not enough to keep you stable in your day of trouble. It's not enough. I can stabilize people who I'm linked with. I can't stabilize you. Because there's another string somewhere that is tighter than us. Interaction is to build many strings. Build a network. Tie ourselves down. Nobody should be here in this gathering who doesn't know many, many pastors. It is not safe to not know pastors. Because church members, they're not correct. They are the confused sheep they are going to consult. No. The quadratic, explain quadratic. Ah, you'll be confused. If you are here, you must be able to point to 5, 6, 7, 8 pastors that you know and know you. Not that I know your face, I know you. And we are able to talk about real life issues. Tonight, this is the work of a pastor, of a shepherd. You say you are a shepherd. You say you are a shepherd. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you are a shepherd. If you are a shepherd, you are a shabby shepherd. But tonight, you know what to do to sharpen yourself. Tonight, you know where to correct things. You know what to do to become a real shepherd. So that desire to be a shepherd can be fulfilled. Stand to your feet tonight. want us to add 2 points. This is 1 point. I didn't do my second point. My second point. Next week. Next week. I can tell you what it is. Be a missionary. Be a missionary. Be a missionary. My second point. Be a missionary. I've been one before. I'm not speaking out of ignorance. I've been one before. Be a missionary. But tonight, just for a few minutes, I want us to pray. You know, many prayers, like I said earlier on, many prayers we pray for ourselves don't work, because they are prayed out of some, they are prayed out of some other reason than faith. I mean, right now, many of us have no real desire previously to be shepherds. You just have a knowledge, but a real deep desire, I don't know about. Tonight, let's do something different. Okay. I want you to lay hands on your neighbor, left and right, and pray for them to become good shepherds. One on one is too little. I mean, I need more hands laid on you. Not one person's hands is not enough. Your stubbornness is too much. Your hard-heartedness is too deep. Your head is too hard. So one person laying hands on you is not enough to make you to break that stubborn spirit or that thing. Many hands. I want you to look at your neighbor. Wait. Take your time. You are praying. I've not said anything. Take your time. I want you to look at your neighbor and imagine them as good shepherds. Yeah. If you were a good shepherd, what a blessing it would be to my church. I mean, look, Rosemary, look at Delphina. Look at, if they were a good shepherd, what a blessing. I mean, look at Doris. Look at Kwekubedu. William, if they were good shepherds, Clinton, if you were a shepherd, a real shepherd, what a blessing to our church. And when you see it, you can't see yourself as a good shepherd, but you can see somebody as a good shepherd. Pour out your hearts in prayer tonight. Pour out your hearts. I'm praying for you to be a good shepherd. I'm praying for Freeman. I'm praying for Evans. I'm praying for them. Shabak attire. I'm praying, Dio, to be a good shepherd. Yes, shepherd. May something spark in your heart tonight. May something be ignited. Elijah, be a shepherd. A real shepherd. A man who prays, who goes out visiting people. A man who is counseling others. Shakataya. Rabbi Kasendede. Kenneth, a shepherd. A real shepherd of the choir. Going out. Gathering them. Left, right, center. Shantaya. Rabaka. Let be the one to ignite a fire in somebody's heart. In the name of Jesus, sir. In the name of Jesus, sir. Pray tonight. Pray tonight. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch this, my brother. Touch him. Let there be a fire burning in him. Lord, we are sitting here as brothers, not doing too much, not praying, not visiting, not counseling, not interacting. My God, that's why our church is not doing too well. That's why we see so little growth. But Lord, if my sisters, all my friends here, if they were all to become serious shepherds, if all of them were to be set on fire, I see a great change. I see a great change in my church. In my church, starting tonight, if all these girls began to pray, if all these boys began to visit, to go out, to chase people down, to track down the old members, track down the new ones, track down the new converts, track down those who have not seen for a while. If everyone here was to be sparked up and ignited, what a church, Shakataya. Rabba Seteya, Kateyanda, Kateyanda, Rabba Seya, Rabo Katini, Rabba Kasendini, Rabo Katini and Daniel. Lift your voice and pray tonight. Lift your voice and pray tonight. You are fighting for somebody's destiny. You are turning somebody into a shepherd, a good shepherd. You are turning somebody from a church member into a church worker, into a shepherd, into a seeker of souls, into a savior of men. You are turning somebody's life around. You are turning someone's life around. Kateyanda, Rabba Sindede, Rabo Kateyanda, Rabba Saya, Rabba Saya, Ayandede Katiriyanda, Rabba Sandede, oh yes, sir. Kiriyanda Bokatiriyande, Rabba Sandada, Rabba Yandada Katiriyam. Lift your voice tonight. Lift your voice tonight, wherever you are, wherever you are. Let there be a shout going to heaven. Draw down heaven's attention. There's somebody here who needs your words, who needs your inspiration. There's somebody here who needs a touch from heaven. Basandede, Kiso Kataya, Kiso Kataya, Ayandede, Ayandede, Rabba Katoyanda, Eya, Rabba Sendede, Shabo Katayandede. Lift your voice tonight. Lift your voice tonight. Yes, Lord. Bakini Kata. Let there be a new generation. Let there be a new generation of shepherds, of people who are being called by your name. Men who love Jesus. Men who love God really and truly. They love God from the bottom of their hearts. And they're willing to go further to feed their sheep, to feed their lambs. Men who are truly able to show their love for God. Masetaya, Kiriyandere, Rabasaya, Rabasaya, Rabba Katendere, Reboyanada Meseya, Ayandada Bokisi Kataya, Rabba Yandere, Hey Abakataya, Reba Dada Miriandere. Keep praying tonight. Keep praying tonight. For just a few minutes. Let there be a shout going to heaven. Let there be a shout going to heaven. I need the help of God. I need the touch of God to change my brother, to change my sister. That there will be a firestorm raging in somebody's heart. Let there be no peace. Let there be no tranquility until that last soul has been affected and touched by us. Bakateyanda, Rabba Setaya, Eyanda, Eyanda, Bakiriyande de Basakataya, Bakiriyanda, Raboko Sekataya, Raboko Teya, Raboko Teya, Reba Yandede, Reba Yandede, Reba Kasanda, Rabokata, Rebe Yendede, Rebe Yendede, Rebe Yendede, Reba Yandada Kakiriyande, Rabba Sandada, Iyandadaya, 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 Bakatiriyandede, Rabba Sandada. 2 more minutes, sir. You want to lift your voice, sir. 2 more minutes, sir. You want to shout to heaven, Eba Sandada, Kitayandede, Kitayandede, Rabba Sandede, Rabbo Katiriyande, Rebo Sandada, Rededededeya, Rabba Katiriyande, Rabba Sandada, Rabba Katiriyande, Rabboka, Rabba Kasanda, Rabba Katiriyande, Rabba Kasandada, Rabba Katiya. 1 more minute, want to lift your voice and pray. 1 more minute, it's your last minute. Let it be your best prayer. Let it be your best prayer. Let it be your deepest prayer from your heart. Your deepest prayer from your heart. Let it come forth. Let the river, that river of living water, let it gush out. Let it gush out. Kateyanda, Sakataya, Sakataya, Rabandede, Rabba Kasendede Kiriyandede, Shabba Katiriyanda, Rabba Sendede, Ketayandede Basa, Rabba Katiri, Rabba Sondo, Shiriba Keteya, Rabba Kataya, Eyanda, 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 is changing. Somebody's life is changing tonight. After tonight, may you become a shepherd. After tonight, may the transformation, may the transformation, let it start. Let it start. Let something change inside you. Let something change inside you. No more rest again. No more laziness. No more boredom. No more relaxation. I'm zealous. I'm zealous. I'm zealous. I'm eager. I'm keen to go further and make a difference. And make a difference. From tonight, Lord, my heart, my heart, my heart, something is doing my heart. from tonight, no more rest, no more relaxation. It's making a difference. It's making a difference. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. From tonight, shepherds, shepherds are coming out of this meeting. Shepherds coming out of this place. People who are affected, they are affected by the word. They are affected by the word. They are changing. They are changing. They are changing. They are changing. Let the change come. Let the change come. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, as you stop, begin to clap and thank God. Just begin to clap and thank God. A new shepherd has been birthed tonight. A new shepherd has come forth. Somebody's heart has changed. Somebody has heard a call of God. Somebody has agreed, I will do this work. I will do this work. I will do this thing. I feel a calling upon myself. I feel a desire to save many. I feel a plan to go out and make a difference. I will make a difference. So long as I'm alive, once I'm alive, once I'm here, I will make a difference. When I'm not here, they can sleep. But once I'm here, I'll make a difference. Something will happen. Something will happen. Something will happen because of me. Something will change. Somebody's life will be changed. Somebody will be affected. I see shepherds, shepherds, shepherds arising, arising out of this place. Hallelujah. 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 Just this not too long ago, I was talking to a man who has everything. He has 2 PhDs. He has 2 or 3 masters. He has a wife. He has 3 sons. He has a house. He has a car. He has everything. I mean, he has everything. He came and sat by me and he said, "Pastor, I'm empty. I'm empty." And I said, "And he's, how old is he? 40 something. He said, "I'm empty." And I said, "You have discovered what Solomon saw. Life is vanity." I said, "Me and you, we are lucky. We saw it early. You are just 40 something. I've seen that. Yes, you have everything. It takes having everything to see that is nothing." And I told him, "I can help you. I told you I can help you." He said, "How?" I said, "Look, I'm starting a cell in your house. I'm making you a shepherd. When you start caring for people and you start seeing this one, I counsel them. This one, I help them. That is the only satisfaction that is lasting in this world." Yeah, that's the only. Everything else, you don't have a car. That's why you want a car. When you have a car, you wonder that, what was the house? I should have got some small car that is economical. This big car, how about the use? I'm alone all the time. This big house, 6 bedroom, 7 bedroom, and 5 are locked. What's the use? You've got to buy a very expensive phone to do WhatsApp. What's the use? You will see emptiness. But the one thing that will guarantee you lasting joy when you are a shepherd of somebody. Oh yes, a shepherd of people. You'll be so happy. I mean, I was watching this morning flow when I saw the Malagasy's. I saw my church members. I saw Ray. I saw Amin. I saw Kelvin. I said, "What a nice church. Look at my church members. What again do you want?" And they are, and you see where they are. You, to stand, you, either then prophet. You, when will you get there? When will you get to a place where you are one step away? Ray was telling me, he was telling prophet his testimony. Prophet said, "Wow, what a wild testimony. You, When will you see a prophet telling your testimony? That's why a shepherd and a missionary, it's the greatest work. It's the greatest work. Your clapping is not proper, but it's the greatest work. You want to be a doctor? No. This one. This shepherd. You'll be so... Look, recently, I was somewhere when my wife called me about two people who are doing very well, very nice couple, and they are progressing in life. I said, well done. And she said, oh, thank you. I said, me? Thank me? What have I done? She said, oh, this guy, some years ago, was going to leave his wife, run away to somewhere. He was going to say, I'm coming. Then go somewhere and run away. He won't come back again. And then he came to see you, and you spoke to him. And then you stabilized them. Today they are married happily, doing well. I said, me? I don't remember. He said, oh yeah, they came to see you in your office. Then they described that it's true, your office here. They described. I said, it's true, but I don't remember. That's a shepherd. When you see the lives you have changed, some cry, I don't remember. When did I talk to you? When did I meet you? I don't remember. But you see, your ordinary talkings, you are changing lives. What iPhone can compare with this couple? What 85-inch television can compare with a man and his wife saying that my child is called a Nana after you? What again? Put your hands together this evening. May you have a desire to be a shepherd, a real shepherd, a deep, committed PVCI shepherd who will go all out. Kenneth, what are we doing? Money. One man was here. He bought a house, and then he was going to do renovations. So he said that, okay, let me break down this wall. The wall looks out of place. Let me break down the wall, and then I'll make a new space here. When he was breaking the wall, there was something in the wall. Hey, what is this thing? So as it looked, something hard. So as he looked it, it was a suitcase. Hey, so he broke the wall, took out the suitcase. What's inside? Very heavy. When he opened it, what's inside? Money. Full of money. He said, hey, what is this? Thousands and thousands of dollars. Money. Somebody's money. Where is the person? He has hidden it and died, and nobody knows. Or money. And you see, you know the painful thing. He didn't chop the money. He didn't chop the money. It's there in a wall, hidden away. Money. Few of us chop money. We gather it. Few of us chop money. A soul is far more satisfying. It's addictive. You don't have the addiction. That's why you're not addicted. When you start grabbing souls, you want more. But you don't have the addiction. So when they bring you cocaine, you say, what is this? When they bring you alcohol, you say, take it away. When they bring you weed, you say, I don't want it. Because you don't have the addiction. Somebody else is dying for the same thing. He's stealing, breaking windows, running into other places, risking things for this thing you are turning down. You are, take it away, this rubbish. Cocaine, rubbish. You are saying rubbish. You don't have the addiction. Somebody does. And he's itching. He's shaking because I want it. When you have the addiction for souls, you can't rest. You want to look for one more soul. One more soul. My church is 89. Let's do one more and get 90. We are 100. 100, let's do one more. 101 is a nice number. 101, it rhymes. Let's do one more and get one more. When you have the addiction, you now press on, you rest. But when you are addicted, they don't know what it means. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all of us gathered here. Help us, oh God, to become shepherds of whom you'll be proud. Shepherds who please you, who go forth out of this place, bringing back sheaves with rejoicing, because we know who sent us. Thank you for the anointing of the Father coming upon us. Help us to endure whatever it takes to become good shepherds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place. This is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.
He called me back.